going to college. It's really expensive. I'm having a baby. They're really expensive. I sell books, though. They're really good. You should also subscribe.
When you say that you believe in evolution, which do you refer to, micro or macro evolution?
There's no such thing as macro evolution. What do you think macro evolution is?
So I do get these two confused. So let me define both. Macroevolution is the change of species over time. Microevolution
Species to the other. Whoa, what? You just said the same thing
so
twice.
Frogs become birds. Monkeys became humans. That is considered microevolution to my understanding.
Whoa, no. Because that's what you just said macroevolution is. A change of kind would also be a change of one species to another. Now, there's no such thing as a kind. This is a term that creationists throw around that has no meaning. None of them can define it. They never will. But you're just very clearly saying the same thing twice. One of these is when a kind turns into another kind, and the other is when a species turns into another species. Those are just definitely the same thing.
There's your definitional separation that we have. You believe that a kind turned to another kind and a species to another species. What I'm referring to as the smaller evolution is a horse changing from a thoroughbred, legs get stronger, the breed becomes stronger. Great example of that is dogs. Dogs started from three foundational families and then compounded as time went on. We see great examples of that. And in breed standards, we have a documented record of that evolution.
Yes, humans don't live long enough to track monumental, enormous changes from a completely new, like, phyla, for example, emerging. Humans don't live that long. But if that did happen, one second.
Don't live that long. However,
if there was
is old enough.
No, it isn't. If there was evidence of that kind of thing. Or sorry, if that kind of thing did happen, then there would be evidence. And the evidence is pretty easily predictable. You just look at
evidence
the genetics.
Evidence of what?
That universal common descent. So the whole thing about a change in kinds is just one way of describing that's the same thing as universal common descent is the same thing as that. It leads to it. So that's really all we would need to that's the only thing really in question.
So for clarity purposes, because I want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly here.
Yep.
What you're saying to me is we don't have documented proof of species changing over time from one to another?
We have examples of that, but I'm just talking about there are like over 1.5 million species alive today, and we didn't watch them emerge. That didn't happen. But if they are all related, that's a test. There's a test for that.
Based off of the studies done in the Galapagos by Darwin. That's what your position is.
No, that would be like a proof of concept that the thing itself can occur. The evidence would be in genetics and the fossil record and a few other things. There's
great examples with that. I understand where you're coming from with it. You're pulling to the fossil record as the reference for this larger overarching evolution over time. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, that's part of the evidence. And then there's also, like I said, genetics. There are a few other things, but...
Well, I won't argue on the point of genetics. I do agree with you. Genetically, humans are even different from our ancestors in 200 years ago. And we have clerical proof of that in our own records from census data and so on and so forth. Where I have the issue is, and where I disagree with evolution, is on the sense of species changing from one to another. I don't believe we have adequate enough proof of that. I don't believe we have a scientific record that states to that. And the records and processes in which we use to date those things have had less than stellar results. I mean, from things like carbon-14 data.
Carbon-14 data is so incredibly well attested. But anyways, I'm totally happy to talk about carbon-14, but we're just going to focus on evolution first. If change of species, what evolution posits, what Darwin originally posited was that there was a first ancestor for all life on the planet. There's a scientific test for that. If that's true, all life on the planet has to be related. And it is. So when you say Christians like there, when you say there isn't good evidence,
Christians already claimed that as well.
That's no, the they never ever claimed that until after we learned all of this stuff, and then they just said God would have done it that way. That's so not evidence. Old, that's retconning.
How old do you believe the first Bible is?
Because there's probably no such thing as the first Bible.
Biblically, we see the results well into the first century. And
where in the Bible does it talk about DNA?
You're telling me, then make sure we're clear here, because I think we're both on two separate thought processes. I want to make sure we're on a single thought process. You're saying to me that evolutionary standard brings us back to a single origin, one creature that changed and became human as a single time, right? DNA structure and everything can be traced back to that single individual.
Yeah, every living thing traces back to that. And the evidence, it strongly supports that claim.
Okay, so I will argue everything as wrong, but let's focus just on human beings for
so you'd have to argue that no life on the planet shares genes, which is so obviously false. I don't know why you would even say that.
Well, you don't really know what I'm saying right now because you keep bouncing around a little bit. Let's stay focused.
I told you what the evidence would be, and then you just plain as day said that the evidence is false.
I haven't said anything you said is false. I'm still trying to figure out.
Yes, you did. You said the evidence doesn't exist or the evidence is false. That's what you just said.
Let me give you what you're looking for right now. What I believe, verbatim, is I believe human beings descended from a single origin. We can agree on that. I do not believe that origin compounds to other species, kind, familia, animalia, whatever you want to say it might be.
Then how come we share genes with all life on the planet? Which is a necessary entailment of evolution.
Planet. I don't know of any proof, nor have I seen anything that can articulate it. Where can you point me?
We share genes with all life on the planet.
Where's your proof?
Okay, I can pull up a... let's see. I'm going to try to pull up something that is more broad and all-encompassing. As I'm looking for that,
do you mean by that? That's a very broad term. What do you mean by you're pulling up something more broad and all-encompassing?
Something that encompasses multiple species is what I mean. But
yeah, that's what I'm asking you for.
Are you like unaware? Are you unaware that we share like 98.6% of our genes with chimpanzees?
Great point that you say that. If we go to the argument of the chimpanzee argument to humans, I disagree with that structure as a foundation.
Time out. I'm only asking you if you're aware that we share genes with them.
I am aware of the study that says it, which we do. However, I'm also aware that the results of that study have been grossly miscategorized and a lots of assumptions to your own point you have already made.
So you're just saying, you know that we can sequence the DNA sequence of a human, right? You know we can do that, right?
I do know we can sequence the DNA of a human.
And you know that we can do that with chimpanzees, right?
I sure do.
And you know that there are just a huge number of DNA sequences between humans and chimpanzee that are either exactly the same or are extremely like 90, like in the 90s%, the sequence is the same. You agree with? Okay. But you're just saying, even though the sequences of DNA are identical in us and them, that doesn't mean that we're related. You're just rejecting the conclusion.
That's not what I'm saying.
Well, but that's what that means. If they have exact same genes we do. Mm-hmm. Well, that's actually what I said. We have the same genes they do. And you say, I'm aware of the study, but I disagree. But I don't.
Yes.
But I just went down the line of questioning and you didn't say you disagree. So I have no idea what's going on here.
All right. So let me clear this up. Are you aware that all of humanity does share a common ancestor through that same genetic study? Do you know where that ancestor arises from?
I don't exactly know what you're talking about, but the human species came out of Africa. We've known that for a long time.
Mesopotamia. That is correct.
No, Africa.
The Mesopotamia.
No, Africa.
Mesopotamian region. All, okay, fair enough.
Mesopotamia is thousands of miles. Well, it's hundreds of miles from the closest parts of Africa.
Okay.
It's in the Middle East. The Middle East is not Africa. I mean, technically, Africa is connected to that. Well, it was before the Suez Canal, but...
Touché. The area of Iraq, Syria, Turkey, and Iran has been well documented of having early stages of life. We also see that the original ancestors that we can trace those genetic code back to has that same thing. I mean, we can go down the road of even Africans having a larger genetic pool that actually is more equipped for things like blood transfusions and a lot of things. However, that does not prove the aspect of evolution on a macro scale from apes into humans.
Humans
that
are apes.
Spurs it. Even to your own point, we don't have a 100%.
That's all science ever does. It collects evidence.
I agree with you.
You can always claim. Okay, then you can't believe in anything. Yeah, then you can't believe in anything.
For proof.
Yeah, the Earth does not orbit the sun by this logic.
Experimentation into conclusion. It's not hypothesis conclusion.
Buddy, are you committed to the idea that we don't know if the Earth
lived long enough to experience that transition of humans, and we're inferring from the fossil record? Am I wrong in what I'm saying?
Just real quick, are you committed to the claim that we don't actually? You can't claim that it's true that the Earth orbits the sun. We just think we orbit the sun.
No, I think it's very factual and evident.
Okay, the science that determines that is the exact same kind of science that determines that we're apes because we're related to them. There's no difference.
Okay. Actually, one's astrology and the other one is evolutionary biology. So there's a little bit of
one's no. I said the science, the process of doing science, and it's astronomy. Anyways, what was your question?
My question is really trying to formulate your point of. Do I believe in evolution? No, I am a strong creationist for two reasons. Number one is, are you familiar with the watchbox theory?
The watchmaker analogy? Yeah, it begs the question.
Yeah, that's one big formulation. But that doesn't prove creation. That proves rarity. And we can obviously prove by searching for life on other planets and rarity. However, the second one is complex evolution. One is in giraffes, for one. Second one is the human heart. Third being the human eye, being as an example. I don't believe you can evolve a human eye.
Well, I don't know what makes you think that. There are 40 different eyes in the animal kingdom that we've discovered. So,
but we have no record of a in-evolution eye throughout the fossil record. We don't have any.
Yes, we do. The eyes...
Which one?
Compound eyes, the oldest fossils of organisms that have eyes don't have the complex compound eyes like we see in vertebrates today. They have simpler versions of them.
But
so
isn't that by definition, we
see an extreme
microevolution, the change of that over time, but it doesn't prove the existence coming out of an evolutionary chain. You don't see creatures without eyes.
It's like arguing a set of footprints that leads to the crime scene doesn't mean the person that left the footprints or the person whose footprints they are was there. It was like, if you're gonna just accept all of the evidence all the way through and then just claim, but that doesn't prove that it happened. It's like, then what do we do? Then you don't believe, you just don't even believe in evidence. Like, you'll claim the evidence exists, but the evidence can't be used for anything. I don't know how we can have a conversation like this.
Well, let's start with the conversation here. Let me actually switch the gears. What is your foundational belief against creationism? Do you have any foundation saying that why you do not believe in creationism?
I would argue all of the evidence we have.
Three that I have. Giraffes, biology, the neck.
That's not evidence. Those are arguments from ignorance. And I can give you the evidence for how a giraffe is able to evolve a long neck and how the problem of blood pressure would hemorrhage the brain isn't even a problem. I discussed this in my first book, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions.
Okay. We'll have to check that book out. That's fantastic that you did do that.
Can but creation
of what your evolution, what your process of thought was into the giraffe, so we can stay focused on a single point.
Sure. The idea is that giraffes, they have a very long neck, which means the blood vessels of their neck can hold a quite large quantity mm-hmm. of blood. And when the giraffe bends its neck downward, if there was nothing stopping the blood from pushing its weight down on the brain, the brain would hemorrhage and the giraffe would die. Now, I actually have not been able to find any publications that actually support that claim, but we can pretend that it's true. That's fine.
Support what so claim? The claim that they would
that there's enough blood to hemorrhage the brain. Yeah, okay. I will grant that it's true because it doesn't even matter. So the argument. So in order for giraffes to get by
it's
that
a little bit of a fallacy,
they have valves.
It doesn't matter. What I'm sharing with you is the evidence which led to my belief inside of creation. The burden of proof is on, frankly, I think for us to articulate this, but the burden of proof there would reside onto you to articulate a method of evolution that can lead.
Yeah, it's not difficult.
Creature surviving through situations that are certain death. If they don't have the blood vessels to be able hold back that, they die.
Yes, I know. Now, we don't know if that would actually kill them because I haven't found any evidence that says that it does. But I can steel man your position and say that it is true. I said it doesn't matter because I can explain how it doesn't matter. I'm not my argument didn't end there. So in order for the back pressure of the blood to block it from pushing on the brain, giraffes have valves in the veins of their necks.
Yep.
Veins are, I'm teaching the audience what this full argument is as well.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Not patronizing you. Don't worry.
Not just me. I apologize.
So organisms have valves in their veins all over your body. You have them, but you don't have them above the heart, which is where your neck is, because veins return blood to the heart. So the blood can just leak down back to the heart. So the deal here goes that evolution can't account for this because in order for the giraffe to have a long enough neck, the giraffe has to have the valves, but it has no reason to evolve valves until its neck is long enough. And because evolution doesn't have foresight, it could never have created the valves in the neck beforehand to protect the giraffes or whatever. So I wrote about this in a book. It's not very long. I'm just going to read the excerpt from my book, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. I already read that part. The claim appears to originate in an anti-evolution book called Of Pandas and People. Obviously, giraffes do bend their necks down because they drink water. So how does the giraffe do this? Giraffes have valves in their veins that only open in one direction. The valve flaps are pointed downward, so they self-close when blood applies back pressure due to gravity. We have these valves in our veins too, but not in any of the veins above the heart. Because our valves are in veins that move blood toward the heart, the valves point up, preventing blood flow from pooling in our lower body. We don't need them in our necks because of how little time we spend upside down. Therefore, the argument goes that a giraffe can't have a long neck and not have valves, and there's no reason to have valves without a long neck. Both traits would have to evolve simultaneously, but natural selection has no teleology, and incrementally evolving two completely different characteristics that work together for a purpose that does not yet exist is impossible for natural selection to do. Sorry, that's kind of a repeat of what I said, but here we go. This is... okay, there's only one paragraph left. This is genuinely a good argument because it appeals to the limitations of natural selection and is correct that natural selection has no teleology or foresight and can't plan our bodies for future adaptations. But the argument only works if we assume that evolution assumes animals with short necks spontaneously give birth to animals with very long necks that must have the valves in place from the beginning. It completely ignores the concept of gradualism. Without the introduction of the valves, the neck length of an animal is limited. Evolution tells us giraffes evolved in, that giraffes evolved gradually, so their ancestors would have had short necks, which the transitional fossils of giraffes confirm. Like that, oh, I lied. Sorry, there's more than one paragraph left. I'm sorry.
Hey, let me actually pause you here for a moment. Sure. You might actually have a point that defeats my argument without even going further. Where is the proof of that in the fossil record?
Of giraffe evolution? It exists. I can pull up some fossils for you.
I mean, there is a point right there I think we can argue on. If that is conclusive enough evidence, my argument falls apart. However, I don't believe there is conclusive enough evidence in that to show that there was giraffes with that in development through evolution, such as a genealogy of giraffes over time that did not have those vowels, yet still had a neck long enough that would need it.
So soft tissue doesn't fossilize. You're not going to get a fossil of a neck valve, but do we have an evolution of giraffes from organisms with shorter necks to gradually longer and longer necks? Yes, we absolutely have that.
Might not be the valve that might not be necessary, because there's also a part of the brain that would, because the what, and please excuse my ignorance on what this is actually called, but there is a holding, for lack of a better term, sponge at the base of the brain that works in conjunction with those valves. But on the converse, when, let's say, a lion pops up while the giraffe is drinking water and it shoots up to get away, it stops them from blacking out because of the pressure. That would be the conclusive evidence, and the skull record would point to that.
You think that a skull record could show you if there were blackouts happening?
It would show the size of the skull, whether or not that part of the brain had evolved and grown over time.
I'm not really sure what you mean by that. I'm going to wrap up this thing about the giraffe evolution. So instead of reading the last two paragraphs, I'll just kind of summarize it for you. So there's no reason that a giraffe can't evolve valves in the neck before the neck starts getting longer. So then they don't have to evolve in tandem. One can evolve before the other. And so if there are neck valves, and remember, you have valves in, vertebrates have valves in veins all over their body. And I'm building the case for how this would happen. There's no reason why. We actually know that it would just be a small genetic mutation that would cause veins in one part of the body that normally develop valves to have veins in a different part of the body also evolve valves. So there's also a proof of concept of this. Horses do not have long enough necks like giraffes to hemorrhage their brain if they bend over, but horses do have valves in their necks. So valve veins in the neck in organisms with necks not as long as giraffes are known about. And so the pathway to giraffes being able to have the long neck is not some in tandem, too much of a perfect coincidence for evolution to have accomplished thing. It's not that at all.
Agree that there is a step here of something missing between horse to giraffe that equates to that. You said it's not in the fossil record. We don't have fossil records of the valves. Everything's such as that.
Yeah, but that's not, I mean, you can call that missing evidence, but this is the classic absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. We just can't get, I mean, this is like me arguing.
Just creates ambiguity. And what I'm looking for is ambiguity in the process, because what I believe is we have enough evidence for creation that the ambiguity inside of the evolution doesn't discredit the existence, but I don't think it can make it all encompassing to creation versus evolution in Big Bang.
I mean,
I disagree with that.
I mean, sure, we can discuss that, but I don't think you have any evidence of creation, because creation's not a testable, it certainly isn't a scientific idea, and it isn't testable, and it doesn't contribute to knowledge at all, because all creation can do is retcon. All creation can do is look at the evidence post-fact and say, oh, yeah, we did that. Or I can imagine that it would have happened that way.
But isn't that in whereas definition that, what you were just saying from horses to giraffes? That you
no,
can infer?
No, it the evolution of giraffes is a specific, like the prediction is very specific. Giraffes have extremely long necks. Well, if giraffes evolved, there should be organisms, we should be able to find in the fossil record, organisms that have all the skeletal, like the diagnosable skeletal features of the genus that giraffes belong to, but they would have shorter necks than modern giraffes. That's a prediction, and we have those fossils. They exist. I had some on the screen earlier. I don't know if you were looking at them or not.
I was looking at those. And I can agree that there is... evolution is provable. I mean, and one of the greatest examples I've heard of this is just simply in dog breeding. It's no case in point that the difference between breeds inside of dogs obviously shows and proves the existence of an evolutionary structure. But I do not agree with the conflation that that same evolutionary structure can be equated to all life on Earth.
Well... you know that, I mean, I think we can just kind of, I wouldn't say that we can logically demonstrate it, but I think we can, I don't want to say logically prove it, but I think we can use logic to demonstrate that there isn't really much of a problem here. So here's what I mean by that. You agree that, we breed dogs from wolves, for example, by just taking the pre-existing genetic material that wolves have and then exploiting the small differences in those to make dog breeds, right? That's how you think we bred dogs.
Well, it's documented. The AKC record very much so documents.
Yeah. Okay, well...
we see it right now in foxes currently being bred for captivity.
Yep.
There is some differences that are very unique. One, such as foxes being bred in captivity start to have, like, curlier tails. We're also starting to see pigs bred in captivity look completely different.
Yep, these are,
it's actually
these are
quite
linked
interesting
genes.
Once you let a pig out of a cage, it almost immediately, within one or two generations, reverts back to the feral hog hair and structure and bone structure and everything such as that.
Okay.
My argument is simply you can't conflate the examples presented there as a definition for all life.
Yeah, I think you can actually. So the way we make dogs from wolves is by exploiting the small genetic differences each generation. Okay. Mm-hmm. Why do we, if that is a thing that happens, if small genetic differences accumulate every generation, why would we think that a process that is tens, hundreds of millions of years long would not produce enough genetic changes that would make the organisms that you start the process with completely different from the organisms that you end the process with?
Because I can breed dogs all I want. I'm not going to get a bird.
Well, of course you wouldn't get a bird because no organism can evolve into another organism that already exists. But why would you think... so what my question actually was, I'll ask your question, but what I think is in the correct way. If you took dogs and bred them every single generation for 100 million years, why would you think the things you have 100 million years later would still be dogs?
That's a very good
how can you accumulate 100 million years worth of changes and still have the same thing?
That is a very good argument against breeding, but that doesn't prove the conflation to all life. It just proves that
breeding equates
to a difference.
No, I think it does. I was trying to demonstrate logically how all life on the planet is related, and you're saying, well, yeah, but that's not necessarily like confirmatory of an evolutionary process. But I think
process for definition purposes. That is the definition from my understanding of macro or microevolution. Macroevolution is, in my opinion, the conflation that all of these species altogether have changed from a single source of bacteria that was on a rock in space or through the Big Bang or through some other occurrence that created all of that life.
Yes. What I was trying to walk you through there was what we demonstrated was What happens after 3 billion years of accumulated microevolutions? You get macroevolution. Not in the sense that one day a bacteria gave birth to a frog, but in the sense that the cumulative changes over vast stretches of time mean the thing at the end of the process is not the same thing you started the process with.
Mm-hmm. I can agree with that. I agree with the fact that if we had 300 billion years of that, but what I disagree with, and maybe this might be a position where I need to do more research, I don't believe the fossil records lead to that understanding. To my knowledge, I'm open for reinterpretation on that, or even presentation of that additional evidence. But when we look to that fossil records, even to your own point earlier, there are gaps that we're seeing inside of that. Now, I do not believe those gaps inherently define and codify a creationist model, but I don't think a creationist model is a single formulation. I think there's multiple inferences that we have made in both sides of creation and in evolution. We're at the vast majority of people just need to realize we don't truly know. We are making inferences upon what records we see, but ultimately based off of what our current worldview is.
Right.
And I think so, more people inside of that, you stop for a moment and you look at the entirety of the system of where we're at today versus what animals have grown, what evidence there is, I believe that because of the eyes, because of the giraffe, because of these things that are impossible, in my opinion, to evolve based off of the watchmaker whole analogy and everything such as that, you lead to the conclusion that creation makes a logical sense. This is why we're seeing guys like Newton, Einstein, multiple different people who are agnostic at best.
Well, Newton was, I mean, he wasn't really a Christian, but he called himself
agnostic.
One. But anyways,
I said agnostic because I agree with you. He wasn't a Christian.
I wouldn't say that he was agnostic. He believed in God. He didn't doubt if God exists, but he didn't affirm the Trinity. When you said you don't think the fossil record affirms macroevolution, I think that's the only thing it does, because there's nothing
microevolution. Macroevolution, I think, is provable. There's no doubt about that. But we keep going back and forth, and it's probably my communication in the way that we're actually speaking about this right now. And just to be clear, I do believe in macroevolution. Microevolution, where species change over time. And I can equate that to, if we did that over 300 million years, you would have very different things. However, it doesn't leave room to interpretation in areas where you can't evolve. Things like hearts, eyes, the vowels in a giraffe, all of those separate things, we can't evolve over time is what my understanding is.
Okay, well, I mean, the thing with the giraffe, I mean, I don't see what was wrong with the way we went through that. Horses literally have neck valves, but they don't have a neck long enough to need neck valves for what a giraffe needs them for.
I can clear that up. The reason why that is because, even to your own point, we don't have that differential of species showing that evolution. You even said to your point, you can't see in the fossil record.
Yeah, soft tissue doesn't evolve.
They don't have that. I said, well, why don't we look at the actual skulls of the giraffe, because of the holding chamber of blood in the back of the brain. That is in conjunction with those valves, and those two work in tandem. Okay, we would be able to see the structure of a skull change over time.
I've never heard of this.
In my record, no one has done that.
I've never heard of this blood holding reservoir in the back of the brain before.
Let me look this up right
which
now.
I know it is. I'm literally getting a degree in nursing right now. I taught anatomy and physiology for a decade. I've never heard of a blood reservoir in that. There's a thing called a blood brain barrier, but that's just a circle.
No, there's a name for it here.
It's just a circle of blood vessels.
It's not a blood reservoir. It's a subarachnoid space is what it's called.
The subarachnoid space holds cerebrospinal fluid. At least I'm pretty sure. I don't think it holds
major blood vessels, but it's not a blood reservoir. You mean the structure behind the brain and the cerebellum sits in the back of the head and the brain says, no, that's not what I'm meaning. It's not hearing what I'm saying on it, I guess.
There is a such thing as an arachnoid reservoir. We have those in our brains, but they have cerebrospinal fluid in them, not blood. There will be blood vessels. There's blood vessels everywhere except for a couple of spots in the body. But
I don't know the name of it. I'm not getting anywhere with what that name is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I honestly think you probably just like misremembered something, which I do that all the time.
That is very possible, coming off of it on top of my head on it. However, I think my argument still stands on the ends of eyes, hearts. Let's leave giraffes out of that one for a moment. If we go that record, we can see the records on other sides. I think the basic gist of where we're getting at, I do agree that specific forms of evolution, as we see in species changing over time, is logical. I do think there are gaps that we are finding where you, in my understanding, are pointing more towards the evolution of species with the time allowed for that. We can also point to why there isn't the type of fossilized records to prove that point, because not everything that dies gets fossilized. There's a specific realm of that. I unfortunately do have to go. My little one has just woken up, but I thank you for this conversation.
You are welcome. Get a free book, 2 free audiobooks, and ad-free videos by becoming a Patreon member.